Hey, Bizarro Josh. This is Bizarro Doc. What's going on?
Hey, Bizarro Doc. How you doing?
I'm feeling, you know, kind of bizarre. What you up to?
Well, I'm not downloading free movies from the Pirate Bay. What are you doing, Bizarro Doc?
Well, I'm not taking credit for other people's tricks.
Oh, that's Bizarro Keen. Let's get started with...
Shalicto. Doc Popular. Yo-yo. Yo-yo. Yo. Wiki-wiki. Yo-yo. Yo-yo. Wiki-wiki.
Yo-yo radio.
Yo-yo radio. Yo-yo radio. Wiki-wiki. Yo-yo wiki-wiki. Wiki-wiki. Yo-yo wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki. Yo-yo wiki-wiki radio. Podcast.
On yo-yo radio.
Wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki.
Well, welcome to another episode of Yo-yo wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki. Wiki podcast. That's of course Woot, W00T exclamation point. My name is Dr. Popular from San Francisco, and Josh Parker is here as well, as always. Josh, how are you?
I am good. It's been a good week.
It's been a good week.
Full of stuff.
Full of stuff. Someone should trademark stuff. I don't know. I mean, it would just be nice to sell stuff. I don't know what stuff would be. Maybe like rolled up, crumpled pieces of paper to stuff things with or whatever.
And other
now
things.
It's yeah. from the makers of things, it's stuff. So yeah, I guess I just gave away another good idea online. That's what I do because I don't have the follow through anyway on any of this stuff. But you've been busy working on stuff. At your house, at your brand new home.
That's right. We pulled up our patio. You know that sinkhole that we had.
No.
In the patio.
No.
Well, we.
Oh yeah,
that.
Yeah. On the steps.
Yeah, right next to the step. Yeah.
Hi.
So we pulled up the patio and fixed that. In the process, both of the steps fell apart, so we had to rebuild those. And we built up a waterfall for our koi pond and bought some koi, so we've actually got a koi pond now.
Now, again, what are you going to do with the koi during the winter?
We've heard that getting a reasonably small heater that you would get for like a bird bath or something like that will keep the water, you know, not frozen, and they hibernate until spring. So.
Okay, and so they hibernate. They don't eat. They will there still be like a layer of ice on top of them, or
hopefully not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat. Yeah. That's really cool. How much are koi? Have you looked into that?
The ones we bought were the absolute cheapest at about $4.50 a piece.
Now, when you're buying koi, you really don't want to buy the cheapest koi. You want something nice and fancy, like gold plated, maybe slammed out with some hydraulics. Or do I
some
not
ground
know what
effects.
Koi? Maybe I don't know what koi are.
Oh, koi are like fancy goldfish.
Oh, so why not buy goldfish?
Because koi have more personality and they grow a lot bigger.
Yes, very big, and meaty, like a catfish.
Mm-hmm. It's very delicious.
If the heater doesn't work. You've got a backup plan. Speaking of koi, the consortium of Yo is going to be meeting this Sunday. I'm very excited about that because there hasn't been a consortium of Yo meeting this year, I don't think. I don't think there's been one since, like, September.
Wow, that's almost a year.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong on that, but I just really don't think we've had a single one this year. Kia, who runs the consortium of Yo, has been very busy with Stealth Edge. He's been lucky to even get any, you know, anti-yo-yos out. But on top of all that, he's also getting married. He's doing all these trips to Japan. I'm really pleased that we actually – I was thinking we probably wouldn't have a koi meeting until – he was back from his honeymoon or something. So that's exciting. We're going to drink and yo-yo this weekend at the Zeitgeist.
Ooh-hoo.
Which I never took you to Zeitgeist, did I?
No, we went to Zeitgeist. We had Bloody Marys.
Okay, well, that's what they do. That's
But they
do those
out.
Right. No, you might be thinking of Bender's. Bender's is where we were in the back. We might have had Bloody Marys at Bender's, but they're not as good as they are at Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist is.
We went to Zeitgeist and had Bloody Marys, and they were rude to us when we ordered food. And then after that, we must have went to Bender's.
That's Zeitgeist. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're not too friendly there. So how was your weekend, Doc? Well, it was good. I went to Maker Faire this weekend. Oh, Maker Faire. I haven't heard of that. Well, it's a really big thing. I don't know how you could have not heard of it. It's on MakerFaire.com. It's run by MakeZine, and it's a big science fair. I taught how to yo-yo there.
Oh, well, that sounds really cool.
Yeah. so there's not many pictures up of Maker Faire yet, but I was tethered to a table most of the weekend doing the cartoonist conspiracy thing where we had a table that we had to kind of attend, and I was the only person attending it all day Sunday and most of the day Saturday, and basically we had people come and draw at the table, but I did get a chance to take a break so that I could teach a workshop on yo-yoing at the Make booth, and it was really cool because when I teach workshops with yo-yoing, usually like I teach tricks and all that stuff, but I actually taught I actually ended the tricks early, like I stopped at Brain Twister, so that I could go on and talk about binding. I taught everybody how to bind return, and then I had everybody sit at the worker table and undo their yo-yos and take the bearing out and like analyze everything. And then I showed them how I modify yo-yo in terms of taking it. So like because of the crowd, I actually spent almost more time talking about the physics and the modifications and all the kind of engineering stuff of yo-yos. I spent more time doing that than I did teaching tricks, and I was really happy about that. That's really fun. Because I always feel like whenever I go to like teach a Boy Scout troop how to yo-yo, like I always want to tell them, like, if you take some liquid silicone, all that.
Well, good. So, that sounds like it was an awesome weekend. That is the event I want to get to someday.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how the San Antonio one is. The one down in Texas. I wonder if it's like half the size or what. Yeah, they do one down there. I mean, they did it last year too, I think. But I mean, obviously the Bay Area one is going to be the one where we just like drive down from. I mean, because most of the people are like San Franciscans or whatever.
Right.
One thing I want to say is I was actually a little disappointed in the Make booth and the Instructables booth, and I didn't even see the Craft booth, the Craft Zine booth. And the reason I mention these things is the Maker Faire is put on by O'Reilly, who owns all three of those, O'Reilly Media. And, in particular, it's put on by MakeZine. And they just had, like, a little booth there, and they had, really cool people teaching things there, but it still was, like, on the right is this gigantic Yahoo booth and all this stuff, Yahoo booth. So considering all the cool things going on, I was really expecting like the Make booth to be the epicenter of the event.
I didn't realize that O'Reilly owned Instructables.
Yeah, they do. So how I've been bitching lately about it's kind of tough to get linked on Make for whatever reason. I'll actually have a better chance of just putting something on Instructables and then Make finds out about it than if I directly send something to Make. Because they're trying to promote their own site, plus they definitely keep their eye out on Instructables. O'Reilly is huge. I mean, I can't speak numbers, but they've got to be one of the biggest online kind of like multimedia sites out there or, multimedia content because they own... I mean, I believe that they own Boing Boing, and I say that because I know that the CEO of O'Reilly is also the head editor of Boing Boing, but maybe they're separate, but I really think they're the same. Boing Boing is, fucking huge. And then Make is one of the biggest craft blogs, and then Craft, and then Instructables. They also own O'Reilly Media. I mean, O'Reilly owns O'Reilly Media, which is, one of the biggest places to go for tech news and, tech blogging. So... I don't know. They're a little corner of the internet. They definitely have on lock. It would be tough to, just like it would be tough to start an online, CD and bookstore competing with Amazon. It would definitely be tough to do something competing with O'Reilly. They definitely have their stuff down. So yeah, they own a lot of stuff. They got their fingers in a lot of pies,
yeah.
Which I think is a sexual term.
That was disgusting.
Well, it's Kevin Smith chasing Amy. Her nickname, Allison's nickname is Finger Cuffs. What is that? I don't understand what that is.
I don't know. I didn't like that movie.
You didn't like that movie?
Nope.
I thought I would because they talk about inking and all that stuff.
But, yeah, the first half an hour I thought was hilarious. Like at the comic book festival, what's a Nubian?
You know what it kind of reminded me of? It sort of reminded me of someone trying to make a movie for both genders or whatever. You know, so like we'll have like these really cool, funny comic references, but then we'll also have like this really sensitive like moral message and love story in there too.
Moral message and love story?
You didn't see a love story in there?
No, there was a love story. I didn't see much of a moral message. Just like the ending. The ending was like he proposes that the three of them have a threesome in order to get over their, you know, their problems or whatever. And it's like, I don't know where they was going with that.
I think that the moral message might be that that love is fluid and that sometimes you fall in love with the person, not the gender. And that sometimes a preference can change, like maybe you're born homosexual, but then like later you just start to prefer something else or whatever that just you really can't predict or whatever what's going on. I think that's the message if there is one. I mean, you know, lots of movies definitely don't have a message. Speaking of which, I loved Crash, the Cronenberg Crash, I think, not the J.G. Ballard movie, which I haven't seen yet. Right, the good one. The good one is the Cronenberg one, though, right?
Okay, I don't know. I haven't seen either.
Oh my God, Crash is so good. It's what is this? A film by Paul Haggis. Okay, maybe Cronenberg did the bad Crash. I don't know, but the good Crash is the one with Ludacris in it, and there's I believe that the message is that there isn't a message because all the people that are like racist bad people in the beginning end up being kind of good people in the end. Like they end up like. Like they'll risk their lives for anybody, despite whatever their beliefs are. Like they'll still risk their life for someone, despite their color or whatever. And then the people who are like really good and like kind of fight against the racist people or the homophobic people or whatever, they end up doing something terribly bad by accident, maybe, you know. But like despite all their precautions, they end up being everything that they. Anyway, so I love the movie, but I think that really the message is that you really can't have a. That not everything is so easy, you know, to say that racist people are bad or whatever, like, you know, people are people, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's definitely a movie I need to check out.
God, it was so good. Anyway, Ludacris's dialogue is a bit heavy in it, kind of like Quentin Tarantino wannabe kind of stuff, but it doesn't, like, block the movie. It just gets old. So let's see here. Let's, you know, speaking of getting old... why don't we do the yo-yo sensation sweeping the nation?
Oh, do you mean name that yo-yo?
Yeah, absolutely. Name that yo-yo.
Hey-yo.
Hey-yo.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and go first here.
You're excited.
Mm-hmm, this is something that I stole out of Josh Jessen's prize bag from Illinois State. By the way, Josh, if you're listening to this, I do have your prize bag, so...
You know what, though? The one thing that's driving me nuts before we do this is before the show, you totally told me what it was accidentally, and I forgot. Crap. That's all I can say. Was you're like, no, we have to do Name That Yo-Yo. I stole blah, blah, blahs, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't make a mental note that I should remember that, and now I'm really, really upset.
No,
you totally did. You totally did. You said I stole blah, blah, blahs, blah, blah, blah from his prize bag. I remember that extra beat there.
Okay. Here we go. I'll give it a throw, and I'll try and keep it close to the microphone here. So, all right, here we go. All right.
I have no idea what that was. What is that? Long, long, short, short. Long, long, short, short. Is that an SOS?
Give up?
Yes.
It's a player VHS tape.
You're supposed to give me a clue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
and I guess you totally didn't say that earlier because I would have remembered that.
Yeah.
Wow. How to be a player VHS tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell because when you shake it, it put me to sleep. Oh,
so drowsy.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's
done. I got two yo-yos here. I want to choose one. Okay, I'll try one, and we'll see if you can even hear it. First, I'm going to change my microphone. Microphone. Okay, Josh, you can hear this, right? I mean, you can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay. So this yo-yo, I'm throwing it. If you can't hear it, I'll change yo-yos. But this is a stock yo-yo, just to get that out of the way. You totally can't hear that, can you?
No, I can't.
You can hear the wind.
Not really.
All right. Do you want to change yo-yos? It sucks. I keep using these really cool, quiet yo-yos.
Is it a sunset trajectory?
Nope.
Oh. Is it a Dolby Calypso?
Oh, my God. Yes?
Sweet.
No, it's not a Calypso, actually.
Okay. I don't know any other Dolby yo-yos.
Okay, let me grab a different yo-yo, then. Because you can hear that anyway. I'm going to use this one, which I think makes sound. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good resonance, Vintage.
Well, that sounds just exactly like a metal freehand.
Okay, it's not.
Okay.
This yo-yo is a prototype of an existing yo-yo. Slightly different, just that it's a little heavier. And it was given to me, this particular yo-yo was given to me by Rick Wyatt at the Mother of All Yo-Yo Contest in St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow, so that's a pretty old thing going on there. Is it a prototype Mega Spin Factor?
Nope. It is a metallic missile. This is one of the metallic missiles that he set a record with.
Whoa.
It's still spinning from that first toss, but, you know, whatever.
Wow.
Whatever, I'm not, you know, saying. It's funny because I've actually been throwing it today. And I don't think that they could have gotten it back then, because it was before the days of bind return.
Oh, sure.
And I've been trying, and even with lube, it don't come back up. And I sort of recall Rick. Throwing it and then winding it back up again, because he was throwing it to extinction anyway. So right. Yeah, that's old school metallic missile, which will be be on my eBay auctions tomorrow. I didn't get a chance to put up the eBay auctions last week because of the preparation for the maker thing, but I took all my photos today, so everything should be online. So it's not. I mean, it's got the girl from Sukuban Deka on it. Sukuban Deka, and we could be saying that totally wrong, but I like saying Sukuban. Sukuban Deka was a 1980s kind of undercover cop show where this. This schoolgirl, you know, this like 18-year-old schoolgirl, was like an undercover cop who had a yo-yo as a weapon, and she would bust crime, which was usually like supervillains, not like, you know, like people skipping school, but like, you know, giant robots or whatever. She would stop crime with her yo-yo, and this particular thing, which is called Yo-Yo Girl Cop, I think is the name of the show, Yo-Yo Girl Cop. Is her daughter, and the original Sukuban Deka girl is now playing the mother, and the show is actually, or the movie is actually about her daughter.
All right. It looks like a cool movie, and that freehand that it comes with is pretty badass looking. Now you know that Joe Mitchell has one of those, and he plans to give away on the 100th episode of Yo-Yo's Coast to Coast, which at the rate they're going will be in about 2 or 3 months.
it'll be out around the time of the next Sopranos episode.
Yeah. And they're at episode 99 right now, so.
That's really freaking cool. I did not know that. And he just gave me away the yo-yo or the whole set?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I imagine he just got a yo-yo.
I imagine he bought the DVD from Greg, who seems to be the only person selling the DVD that I can find. And then when he got there, he found out that it wasn't, you know, subtitled or anything. And so I imagine he was like, oh, giveaway time.
Well, I'm guessing that this is the Japanese release of the DVD, so that's why it doesn't have any subtitles or anything like that.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, who knows if it'll ever come to the U.S., and if it does come to the U.S.
Actually, it says right here, No subtitles, no sissy overdubbing. This is the real thing. It's even Region 2 DVD encoding, so you might not even be able to play it in your DVD player.
Yeah. So it's definitely Japanese.
Yeah.
But it might not ever come to the U.S., and if it does, it might not come with that Freehand Zero. The Freehand Zero is supposed to look like the yo-yo she uses in the show, and it even comes with a counterweight on the end that's a dagger, yeah. like she uses in the show. It's so cool. Oh, I got to get one of those. I've been looking on eBay all day today trying to find one. So the other thing that they have is a new Chinese yo-yo, I believe. Or no, it's probably Korean. It's by Shinmu. It's called the Phantom. And it's absolutely 100% a Duncan Freehand knockoff, which sounds good to me. It's only $9.99, and I don't know what the weight is compared to a Freehand Zero, but you know I love the Sanavi that Shinmu used to make,
right.
Which was a like Henry's knockoff or something. And I always said if they got rid of the rubber shells and made a you know Freehand knockoff, it would be a dope yo-yo.
Yeah. So do you think this is a sticker response?
Well, you know, the Zanavi wasn't sticker response. The Zanavi was...
It was
over. Sort of. It was a molded rubber plastic that went on the inside. So it wasn't literally an O-ring in terms of it wasn't a, you know, gasket O-ring. It was actually a piece of rubber that was shaped like a sticker, but then it had parts that went further into the yo-yo so it could stay in the yo-yo. Like you couldn't like just pull it out because all you saw was a sticker shape, but if you looked further, it actually had much more to it.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't remember that. I lost my Zanavi shortly after buying it because I hated it so much. But
well, all you had to know in terms of the inside was it was the exact same rubber that they used for the outside. You know, so they would mold on the Zanavi if they had a blue or red rubber that was kind of a soft, grippy rubber. It was the exact same thing on the inside. And the inside might have actually gone all the way outside. So it might have been literally one piece of rubber.
Oh,
I don't know.
That'd be neat. Yeah. All right, but that's a cool-looking deal.
Yeah, for
$9.99, it says it's slightly smaller than a Freehand Zero. It's metal weight rings on the inside, but it's got the same side cap. Design it looks like, and that looks like a solid yo-yo. I'd like to give one of those a throw.
So have you seen Yuki's Freestyle from BAC? Because it's finally online now.
Yeah, I sure did. To very little applause from what I noticed, at least on yoyoing.com.
You know, I don't know, is it anywhere other than YouTube? Because I saw the YouTube video, which is very bad quality, and might explain why it's, you know, not really talked about too much. Do you know if it's anywhere else?
I don't think so.
Well, hopefully now that one's up, maybe someone will put up a higher quality one. Since apparently Yuki doesn't have a problem with it anymore.
Right.
And I don't know what you're trying to
say. Ugh, so frustrating. Go ahead, put it up.
So he's allowing it to be up, and it's on YouTube. I don't know what you need to search, but Josh and I saw the post that Ben McPhee posted today, where he put a link up to the YouTube video. The freestyle I had heard from several people that were there, including Mark Montgomery and Seth Peterson and a few other people. It was what they say was perhaps the single greatest yo-yo freestyle ever done at a contest. Like he landed everything or whatever, and he was doing really hard stuff. And just that it was really impressive. And you don't really get that from the video, I don't think. So
right, because I was watching the video, and I got to say, I did not watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You know, 2 minutes into it, I was like, he's missing stuff. I'm kind of bored.
Well, I couldn't even tell if he was missing because of the quality of the video. But one thing that was neat was just seeing him move around so much. He had a much more active, like it was very different than a Yuki freestyle. It wasn't all in one little box. With him kind of nervously there. He seemed very confident. He seemed to be moving around a lot. He was doing behind-the-back tricks. Yeah. He was doing big trick, little trick, big trick, little trick. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The one thing that sort of bums me out, I always see him list who his inspirations are or whatever, and he always lists like the same three people, that guy from Texas and Mark Montgomery and maybe the other guy from Texas, I can't remember. But I looked at the freestyle, and I just saw tons of, like, tricks that were like my tricks, I would say. I mean, that he had taken much further, but, like, there's been nobody else doing, for instance, that like brain twister on the right hand side, and they're doing tricks from there, which I've got to, you know, I've always been about that. I love that outside the body stuff.
Yeah.
And it sort of breaks my heart that, like, nobody else is doing it. And then he starts doing it, but he doesn't even, like, ever list me as, like, you know, someone who's influenced him when, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. A lot of the stuff was, you know, stuff that was influenced him by me. I mean, cause I taught him some of that stuff personally. So I know he didn't, like, just make it up on his own, coincidentally. You know, I mean, a lot of that stuff's been out since the Glass Lab.
Right.
So, sort of breaks my heart. Like, you know, just a little credit. That's all. I don't know. I like to think, you know, because I've been doing that stuff for so long, waiting for it to catch on. And I like to think that when it does catch on, people would go like, "Well, you know, that's cool. That's stuff that Doc said, or you know, stuff that Doc did." And now I might not get that credit. I don't know.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. I sound pathetic. This is what happens when you get washed up. You start just trying to make sure that you get credit for the things that you did, David. Before, you know, I didn't care. You know, but, you know, after you're washed up, you definitely want to make sure that, like, you get credit for things you've done.
I was watching the first part of that video, though, and that's definitely what I thought, is that, like, he catches those, you know, it's just basically a trapeze that he catches on the outside, and... like, well, that's a Doc trick right there.
Yeah. And he's doing a lot of, like, very Yuki things from it, but just, I guess what I'm saying are just a lot of the basic holds, you know, just, I don't know, like, you know, because all I'm doing are, you know, basic tricks like Brain Twister or whatever. It's not like I, you know, made up a whole new trick. I'm just, you know, kind of really, I've always been pushing people to rethink, you know, everything doesn't happen to happen here, it can happen here or here, you know. And it looked like he'd been doing the same things he'd been doing before, but just... on the outside of his body, and the first half of his freestyle, like the first, I don't know, 40 seconds of it, I was flattered at first, but then I just kind of thought, like, well, he's definitely never given me any props. That would have been nice.
Yeah. All right. What else do we got to talk about here?
Heck of stuff. Yeah, we still haven't talked about the Robot Friends episode, or the Robot Friends thing yet.
The Build Your Own Robot Friend?
Yeah, the Robot Friend Junior, the PDF that Drew Tetz henceforth referred to as Drew Tetz put up. Drew is the newest member of Team Duncan. I think he's taken Seth Peterson's spot, and he's always been somebody that I just have liked. But I keep seeing him like in other circles. Like I saw him on MC Frontalot's board, like MC Frontalot's sucker board, before I saw him posting on Yo-Yo. And then I saw him on the Nerdcore rap boards and stuff like that. And then now I see him on like Makezine, and I see him on all sorts of other stuff. So I've always kind of like, you know, he's been one of those guys that I, you know, really get along with and all sorts of things. And as a birthday present for our man Dave Poisner, who's both of our heroes, he came up with a paper craft of Robot Friend, which is something you can download, cut up, and make. Have you made one yet?
I did make one, yeah.
I haven't seen any pictures of it. I'm shocked.
It got thrown away.
How did it get thrown away? By you?
No, by the cleaning crew at work.
Really?
Yeah.
paper craft. Get rid of that. That was made on company time.
It's really strange. I went in the next day to look for it, and I was going to take some pictures, and it's just gone. So I don't know.
So I mean, you've downloaded it. You've gone through the process. What did you think of the making of process? Was it doable, or was it really tough?
It was doable. I thought the hands were a little awkward, and I couldn't figure out the antenna just right away. I guess it kind of makes sense, but it is a little strange.
Mm-hmm. Well, we definitely encourage everybody to download it. I guess Dave is in the process, and you were in the process of bringing robotfriend.org to life.
Yes.
And so probably there'll be a post there. In the meantime, you can go to docpop.blogspot. And search for Robot Friends. I've got a PDF there. There's also a Flickr group. So if you do make a Robot Friend Junior, you know, feel free to post it up to the Flickr group. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'd love to see pictures going up there.
Mm-hmm. We already saw one blog from Minneapolis. From I'm not sure what the girl's name was. I think it's Jen Lauren. Put one up.
That was from Minneapolis. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah. She used to be my upstairs roommate. Like, it's a small world, right?
Okay.
So she was bored at work or something. She made one, and then a friend of hers said, "God, I sure am bored at work." And so she passed it on to her friend who worked at a different office, and she said that everybody at the office made one. So there's quite possibly like 20 robot friends up in Minneapolis right now. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully they'll join. I noticed that she joined the Flickr group, so hopefully the rest of them will join and upload pictures.
Good.
You know, one other thing about the robot friend, I made a robot friend PDF, a robot friend junior PDF from the original prototype, so it doesn't have like the antenna and some other things. And I had it up on the table at the Maker Faire, and sure enough, it worked its way into the cartoon that we were working on. I think there's like 8 panels with robot friend in there, so that's really cool. There's some really cool stuff like robot friend getting attacked by a giant rubber ducky, and stuff like that. So I posted those up to the Flickr group as well.
Those are great.
They're gorgeous. There's some really cool ones in there.
Yeah, love that. That first panel by Bree Pettis there, I just think is pretty cool. And then it's by Bree Pettis, and I was like, wow, that's neat. I wish I could go to Maker Faire.
Furthermore, the panel you're talking about, it's sort of by Bree Pettis. The first panel that you're talking about in the book was actually done by a drop bot that Bree built. So Bree took a picture of him and Philip Terone, the editor of Magazine, and so they took a picture of them kind of posing, and then he sent it to his robot, and his robot drew it.
What?
So that's not hand-drawn. That is drawn by a robot, and then the next panel is me drawing robot friend drawing them. So the idea is that you're looking at what robot friend sees in the first panel.
Oh, that is totally brilliant. That is why I like Bree Pettis, and that is why I would love to go to Maker Faire.
Yep.
All right.
Pretty keen.
You know what really bums me out besides not going to Maker Faire?
Spider-Man 3?
No. Well, yeah. But
you missed Heroes?
Jeez, you just got a lot of this. You're full of piss and vinegar right now.
Yeah, you know what to ask me. You know what to set me up for this. I'm always ready for this.
But you lost the vlog deathmatch.
Oh yeah, that is heartbreaking. The vlog deathmatch, I think we talked about last episode, right?
Yeah, we did.
So we did a pretty cool video. I didn't think like it was hands down the best video, because I thought several of the other videos were just as good as ours. But we did write our own song, yeah, as opposed to lip syncing, and still had a very good video on top of that. And yeah, we lost the vlog death match. I think the winner had 41% of the votes,
yeah.
And we had like 29% of the votes,
yeah.
Which I think it was like 3,000 votes, so I think that we probably had around 1,000 votes, and they had around 1,200, which is pretty close.
Yeah. I think your video was very superior to their video.
Mm-hmm. I have to say I wasn't thrilled about losing to their video in particular. I thought that there was other videos where I could have. There was one video, I don't know if you saw it, I can't even remember the name of the people, but the rules for the vlog deathmatch, you know, was like rule number one, location, anything goes. Rule number two, subject matter, anything goes. And so it kept saying like anything goes. And so one group actually did a video, a lip sync video to Frank Sinatra singing Anything Goes. And I thought that was just brilliant. Like, because, you know, it showed up in the beginning. It said rules and, you know, anything goes. And so their video was Anything Goes. And, you know, if they had bonus points for working with a subject, you know, like we do with the Underground Video Throwdown, which you and I are making a video that we shot in your basement.
Hello!
So if they had rules, like Mark McBride's Underground Video Throwdown or the UDT, then they would have, like, you know, bonus points and stuff like that. I have to say I do feel that probably some fan of the winning video wrote a script, because there was consistently one vote every 2 minutes for them for like the last day, if not longer. I mean, I only watched it for the last day, and I kind of averaged it out. It was pretty close to one vote for every 2 minutes, give or take, like actual votes that might have come in. So, you know, I could be bitter, but yeah. but I tend to think that they had an overzealous fan, like one person. And it's a real bummer to lose to a code if that's
right.
what happened.
Right. Well, I think that does it, Doc.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
The Vlog Deathmatch, Supercon, Phantom. It looks good. We didn't talk about Heroes, which you didn't see last night. But I think you might have done that on purpose. That's kind of creepy. It was the season finale, you know.
I'll be watching it in about 5 minutes here if we can wrap this up.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't want to ruin it for you, but it is anticlimactic.
All right. So you've been listening to a... a fantastic, a super fantastic, a quadruple super fantastic episode of the Yo-Yo Wiki podcast. For
oh
Dr. Popular, I'm Josh Parker. Until next week, keep editing.
Oh, yeah, Yo-Yo Wiki.